What is the difference between the arts and entertainment of Babylon and the kingdom of God? We're going to be discussing these things with a very faithful and dedicated and bold, both activist and evangelist, which is really out there to transform culture. I hope that this episode will be an encouragement and that you will learn from the wisdom of what he thinks needs to happen for a revival of beauty. So let's move forward. The world in the West has become increasingly ugly. People are increasingly depressed, and big movements all over the world are now telling modernism, enough is enough. Join us on this podcast as we unite these voices and together recover the beauty of art, music, and architecture to uncover its significance for environmental stewardship, mental health, moral goodness, objective truth, and a vital spiritual life. My name is Magnus Gautestad, and this is Beauty and the Faith. Greetings and wake up. We are back here, and I am very, very grateful for this opportunity to be speaking with somebody who I've been engaging with on another podcast earlier, and just seeing this brother being consistent and his dedication to really bring Christ and into different areas of life. And here on this podcast, we're talking about beauty and faith and trying to look more holistically really about the mission. And we have some Christians on, we have some that are not Christians, but there are very many now that are really tired of the wokeness or the modernism and things happening. And so we're bringing all of these different movements together and seeing, you know, where can we unite and where are we better together? So very, very grateful to have Cody on the show. So how are you doing, Cody Lawrence?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. Excited to talk about beauty.
Wonderful. Let's just jump into a little introduction here as we tend to do. So Cody is the host of Spare No Arrows, a podcast covering theology, politics, and current events, and encouraging Christians to stand for biblical truth in Babylon by applying all of God's word to all of life. Cody is also the creator of Retake.Church, a new site containing articles and resources to equip Christians to retake our church that's drifting away from Christ. I think that's a wonderful mission, and I'm so honored to have you on board on this episode. Let's start off with our classic question. What would more beauty lead to? Like, why does it really matter?
Yeah. So first, I think everybody in the world, they care about beauty in some way. But one serious problem that our current world, at least in America, we seriously deal with this problem, is that people have no idea what beauty is. They think that we can define our own beauty. This is postmodernism. They think that we define our own truth and, you know, whatever I think is good is good. But so I think the more of that kind of attitude we have, the more ugliness comes into the world. And also the more people that are taught by that ugliness, that is actually beautiful. And so I think one of the major benefits of having more beauty in the world is that more people can actually understand what true beauty is, and then therefore create more beauty from that. Because I think like beauty creates beauty and ugliness creates ugliness.
Well, that's a very important point, you talking about the definition, actually knowing what that means, because we have that good old, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and it has, you know, starting to kind of reveal that into the world made many people to question really how good it is and really how true it is. So I think you have a good point there about also the cumulative effects this will have. And we're going to just move on a bit to a concept of you calling Babylon. It would be good also that you define that for our listeners. So what is the art and entertainment of Babylon? And is that leading people away from truth, goodness, and beauty? And if so, how?
Yeah. So one really useful idea that I hear a lot of people talking about recently is this idea of the negative world. And a guy named Aaron Wren came up with this idea, who's kind of associated with a lot of the folks that we follow. And his idea is, at least in America, many years ago, the American culture was very positive towards Christianity. If you were a Christian, like you were seen as like, that's a positive thing. Oh, nice. This guy's a Christian. You might get better job opportunities, or, people would just think better of you in general. And then as the years went on, maybe up to, I don't know exactly what year he says, but maybe let's say up to the 80s or so, Christians were thought more by the culture as a neutral thing. It was no longer a positive thing, but it was more neutral. And then more modern, like in our generation, Christianity is seen kind of as a negative thing. If you're a Christian, the broader culture, at least around me, sees you as a bigot, or, you're a terrible person if you actually believe, if you're stupid enough to believe what the Bible says. And so that is what I mean by Babylon. Mm-hmm. I think, Babylon in the Bible is this pagan nation that the Israelites, because they're being punished, are exiled to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what is happening to Christians in a lot of cultures, especially that used to be predominantly Christian, like America was. Mm-hmm. And, we're losing that as time goes on, and I'm trying to fight and try to get our culture to be Christian again. Mm-hmm. I think that the biblical allegory of Babylon is useful because we still have to live faithfully. And as Christians, it is our job to disciple the nations and to disciple Babylon. And so even though we live in this really hostile, aggressive environment, it's our job to fight back against that. And the Bible says in Jeremiah that God collected his army and to attack Babylon. And that's where the name of my show, Spare No Arrows, comes from. Spare No Arrows. For Babylon has sinned against the Lord. And so I think that's what we ought to be doing. I think things like art and music and entertainment can be arrows. So by attacking Babylon, I don't mean like with weapons, but I mean with spiritual weapons, because the Bible says that God has made these spiritual weapons that are mightier than physical weapons. Hmm. And so that's what we need to be doing ultimately through spreading the gospel and living faithfully. Hmm. Conversely, kind of like what I said before, to answer your original question, that was kind of a long lead up. the art and the beauty and the truth of Christianity converts people to Christianity. So like, people are convinced of the truth of what we say by our actions, right? Mm. And by the things that we produce, by our fruit. If we're terrible, awful, ugly people, and we try to tell people about the gospel, they're going to be like, ew, whatever you just said isn't true, because you're not living out the thing that you say you are. Hmm. And so I think in that way, if we live faithful Christian lives and produce good, faithful Christian fruit in all of our lives, and not just, compartmentalize Christ in our hearts, like a lot of people believe we need to do, but actually let all of Christ affect all of life, then I think that can have a positive and like a conversion effect, or can help, ultimately, obviously the gospel is the thing that saves people. But, like I said, our behavior and our actions bolsters that truth. Hmm. In the same way, I think that, Babylon's art and culture can catechize us. And I think that's part of the reason why so many Christians in America are losing an idea of what Christianity really is. Like a lot of people, they don't, they think, oh, I'm a Christian just because I think Jesus existed. People really think that. They don't understand that, I need to live consistently with what Jesus taught. And there's more to being a Christian than just believing Jesus exists. And so the culture and its entertainment and its music and its, public schools and stuff has catechized the whole culture to stop believing Christianity. And so I think we need to be teaching better in churches and living more faithfully as Christians and producing more good fruit in all of life in order to push back against Babylon.
Yeah, that is definitely a more comprehensive and inclusive view of the what the mission is. And I can, of course, testify, as I've done on the show before, about that pre-conversion experience that I had with beauty that really changed. It changed my desires. It started to change my desires enough to bring me into the churches. And that is where I ultimately changed, you know, got my heart changed. But it was that longing for the wonder and the transcendence of something beyond this world, you know, into kind of the which I saw in that type of elevating, aspiring beauty of the classical tradition. You know, when I grew up, I played in metal bands and had dark hair and all of this stuff. And, you know, that's cool. I do some crossover stuff and all of that and play some electric guitar solos. So, you know, if you think that, you know, having wigs and tights as in the Baroque era is kind of gay, you know, the classical music has a certain power to it, which I think is... in one way, it attributes some of the attributes of God. So when we're talking about these things and about beauty and the classical revival and all of these things, I think it's important to remember that if we're going to be teaching all of Scripture and we're going to be getting to know God in all his attributes, that actually, then it is possible to have kind of different people and a bit different styles to do that. So we're not trying to be totalitarian here about a certain form of beauty, which some might accuse us of, but it's about not being so reduced down to, for example, all worship songs feeling like this is just the human side of Jesus that's your friend. Or on the other side, that it is like a far-fetched God a long way, and you're only chanting. And I find beauty. I can find beauty in these both of these styles. But are we really getting to know God in all his ways if you are not, you know, more comprehensive? And I think what you're saying here, Cody, you're having that view on the beauty and the arts, but you're also including different spheres of life. And I think that's a very inviting and engaging way to understand Christianity and being a part of it. And on that note, I want to just continue a bit and see the flip side here. You know, what types of art and entertainment have a fittingness in the kingdom of God? And I just want to say the reason I'm using fittingness is that I'm reading a book now for my thesis in my bachelor on, and it's about beauty. And he defines beauty as objective beauty as fittingness. So when you see, you get that sense that this is beautiful. You know, put 100 people in a room, almost everybody will say this is really beautiful. There's a fittingness of what's happening. So what I really mean here is that what is really fitting in the kingdom of God when it comes to arts and entertainment?
Yeah, so I like what you said about God, a wide variety of mediums can be used to express God's truth and God's beauty. And I think that's true. I also think that that God does tell us how to worship him, for example, in church. God gives us guidelines on how to live our lives. And so we cannot just do whatever we want to and say, hey, this is for God. And that means it's for God, because we can do things for God in a bad way. This happens all the time. You know, people do things in the name of God that are atrocities. And so the thing that we need to anchor our entertainment and arts in or whatever is ultimately Scripture and not our emotions. If we're anchoring things in our emotions, just like, I feel like this is good, then that isn't a good driver compared to the Word of God itself. Now, that also doesn't mean that everything we do has to directly reference the Bible, let's say. Like Christian movies, movies that are the most blatantly Christian, are some of the most terrible movies that I've ever seen. You know, like movies that are intentionally trying to communicate the gospel. Oftentimes they're cheesy and they're lame and they're just not entertaining and they don't tell a good story. And, you know, I think there's many reasons for that. That's not to say that you can't make a movie like that that's good, but the point is, I think Christians need to be focused on making good things, and good things are Christian. For something to be Christian, it does not have to communicate the gospel per se, but it has to have the influence of the gospel in it. So for example, like the Bible is full of stories with violence and a lot of other bad stuff. And so I think it's okay for that stuff to be in our movies if we are communicating some higher truth with it. And that's good. So if something is fitting in the Bible, I think it's fitting in entertainment and culture. And so using scripture as our guide, I think all kinds of entertainment is fitting in the kingdom. If it's movies or if it's music, like, you know, I'm not a big metal fan personally, but there is a place for metal in the kingdom. There are Christian metal bands that like sing psalms using metal. But you don't have to do that. You could just play good metal music that's not evil, and then that could be fitting in the kingdom of God, you know? And so that's kind of the approach that I take. I think like if you're doing something skillfully, and if you're doing something to glorify God, like you don't have to be a pastor to glorify God with your life. You could be absolutely anything, you know, people like you could be a janitor, or you could be a, you know, a bus driver or whatever. And what you do does not directly communicate the gospel. And I think entertainment is exactly the same way. You can do any kind of entertainment you want, as long as it's not sinful. And that fits in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. I can hear your message, and it resonates with a message from Joel Pelsiu, and he has his big ministry for arts and entertainment in Los Angeles and online, and really reaching out to all the artists that has been neglected in the church. And he says that about how God can redeem people, but he can also redeem music, right? So if he can take a style, if he can redeem somebody like, you know, Saul of Tarsus, if he can redeem a person like that, which was so wicked, don't you think he can take, you know, the creativity that really was meant for his glory, and then save it and redeem it for his glory again? So I'm careful to say God cannot redeem this because it came from this or came from that. And I think it's a wonderful, you know, if you see some type of gangster or something that used to, you know, be criminal or something, and that person is now glorifying God with his life, there's almost nothing more powerful, because you know that was so much God that did that, right? So in one way, there is a certain God-centeredness when there are different styles that are being used, because you're like, that got to be God, because the way I feel now is so different because it's gone through some sort of, you know, redemption in itself. So I think you're pointing to very many interesting points. And we're trying not to be too kind of philosophical on this podcast, because, you know, that's great. But I'm a practical guy. I like to, get my mind ready, understand that this is grounded in something else than my emotions, and then get to work. Right. So I want to just move us toward a bit, you know, how can our listeners get to work? If you are a believer in Christ, or if you just believe that, you know, you're a classical philosopher and you just believe, you know, if we can work together with the churches and transcend this, all its ugliness we see in the West, we'll be better off working together to do that. Well, let's just think a little bit about how we can apply this. And so what and how should we create and build to accelerate a revival of beauty and faith in arts and entertainment? What can we do?
I think at the center of that has to be, like I said before, scripture. And so in our families, we need to be sure that we are reading the Bible, and that fathers are teaching their kids and leading their wives well in the study of scripture. Every father is a shepherd to his family. So every father is a kind of pastor. We also need to be sure that our churches are teaching good, solid biblical truth. And if you don't go to a church that teaches good, solid biblical truth, and there's another one around you that does, you got to go to that other church that actually teaches good biblical truth. And we need to grow these churches that teach well And then plant more churches that teach well. If there's no church around you that teaches good, solid biblical truth, start one. Or find someone who can, you know. And I think that's where it starts. And then from there is we need to fulfill the Great Commission. We need to do what Jesus said when he said, go disciple the nations and teach them to obey all that I've commanded. When we're not only told to share the gospel, but we're told to make disciples and teach them to obey. And so that means not focusing on shallow evangelism. I think that's something that has happened historically a lot in America. People are focused, like we had these big revivals, they called them, and you know, people would just come and like Billy Graham crusades. I went to one of those as a kid where, you know, you just like say a prayer and you're saved. And they mark down thousands of people that were saved that day who've probably already made 10 professions of faith in their life. Like, how do you know they're saved? And then they don't go to church. They don't start living like Christians. And so they're just false converts. I heard some stat from a Ray Comfort book that I read, actually, that they surveyed a lot of these crusade organizations, and upwards of like 90% of people who make professions were false converts because they didn't start going to church after their profession, or they never followed up or never got connected with a church after that. And that's a huge, crazy number. 90% of people who make professions of faith are false converts. And I think that's because we've gotten away from focusing on making disciples, and we focus on this shallow evangelism. And so evangelism is important, absolutely, but it is the first step in the process. Jesus doesn't say, share the gospel with the nations. He says, disciple the nations. And sharing the gospel is just the first step of that. And so when I think, and this applies to the all of Christ for all of life idea, once we start to recognize that Jesus is not just the Lord of our hearts, but he's the Lord of our entire lives, and he's the Lord of the whole earth. He's the Lord over people who don't even recognize him as Lord. And it's our job to tell them, hey, Jesus is your Lord. You better start acting like it, you know. You better believe that he's your Lord. And so from there, I think that is the very first thing that can lead to a great revival of beauty in faith and arts and entertainment. Because when our hearts change, when we are converted by the gospel, our whole lives ought to change. The things we create, the fruit we produce changes. And so the better our churches are and the better we understand the Bible as individuals and as families and so on, the things that we create will be better also and Christian and will reflect that goodness of God. And so from there, I would say the next step is to just like get a hobby, start creating things. You know, if you go to a good church and if you study your Bible, like start creating, get on social media or pick up a musical instrument or start drawing or whatever, because we absolutely need more good, beautiful Christian art. One of the best art museums in the whole country is here in Kansas City, Missouri. It's in like a lot of top 10 lists of the best art museums, and it's called the Nelson Atkins Art Museum. And it takes you from like the earliest art that we've ever recovered up into modern art. And, you know, early art was less skillful and, you know, worse, and it gets better and better as Christianity is introduced into the world. And it's wonderful and beautiful and skillful at a certain point. And then after that, it gets worse again. And modern art that comes out of our, you know, century, is awful. It's terrible. It's abstract. It displays this ugliness and it disregards truth completely and focuses on emotions. And so we need, as biblical truth as our foundation, we need to make good art to push back against this culture of darkness and confusion and postmodernism.
Wow, that was a lot of great wisdom there. I'll take some time to think through all of that. But I think I keep seeing these thoughts from so many holds now about the importance of The focus, of course, we know that it, you know, it, just like putting a seed in the ground, there got to be some sort of change on the inside. We can't just change the systems and think that that will be sustainable. And all, but some people can work. It's like I said, some people build a foundation and some other people build a house. So we all got to be working at some level on the foundation and live from the foundation. But some people, we need people to kind of decorate the house and build a house. And some people work more behind the scenes. And there is, I think there is a place with a vision that you have casted here. I think there is, if people don't know, listen to this podcast, and then they don't quite know what their purpose is in life or what their calling is, maybe we have limited a bit what we think really it means, that what the kingdom means, what the mission of the Lord, what discipling the nation means, all of this concept. So when people go to your stuff, Cody, they will start to see a broader way of how to engage and use your passion for Christ and really engage with culture. And we need people there standing strong. So I really hope that people can go and learn from you and see how you do things. And that might give them some ideas of how they can be bold in where they are gifted. So why don't you point people to how they can learn more from your content?
Yeah, I'm on social media and I make regular posts on Facebook and Instagram, and you can just search Spare No Arrows. I also have my podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere where you listen to your podcast. I also have the video on YouTube, and you can just search Spare No Arrows there. And also retake.church is the website where I post some blogs, and some other people contribute to it as well.
Mm. Wonderful. Very clear. This has been highly inspiring for me. I know these type of discussions, taking a little bit of time to think through these things, is definitely a great way to get ready to fight and the good fight. So thank you so much for encouraging and teaching our listeners about the truth and its connected with what is good and how it leads to beauty. And that's a big passion for our listeners here. And as you know, we are also on YouTube and on different podcast directories. I post some highlights on Instagram. You can go in there and see a little bit of different episodes if you haven't been following all our episodes. And let us know in the comment fields, what do you think? If I'm saying something that's not true, I don't want to be just standing here as a big dummy. Then I really want you, you know, I can take it. You know, I can take it if you think that I'm wrong about something. I really want us to learn and come together to clarify so we are really accurate and we have enough nuance that we can really stand for everything that we're saying here. So again, Cody, thank you so much for being here. And for all our listeners, have a beautiful day.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, brother.